Welcome to this week's Real AI Podcast, based on the first and most popular weekly newsletter about real estate and artificial intelligence for real estate agents and brokers. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and these are the highlights from this week's Real AI newsletter for the week of August 3rd, 2026. Now, here are your AI hosts, Miles and Grace.
So imagine waking up tomorrow, right? You pour your first cup of coffee, check your phone, and you find out you've effectively lost your real estate license.
Which is pretty much the ultimate nightmare scenario for anyone in the industry.
Oh, absolutely. But here's the kicker. You didn't actually do anything wrong. It was an intern you hired yesterday who just sent a text message to a lead that completely violated federal fair housing laws.
Right. And to make it even worse, imagine that intern isn't a human being at all.
Exactly. It's a piece of software you bought for like 40 bucks a month.
Yeah.
We are unpacking the current incredibly high stakes reality of artificial intelligence in the real estate industry.
It's a reality that is honestly moving way faster than any regulations can keep up with.
Yeah. And to map all this out for you, we are pulling insights directly from the industry's definitive source on this topic, which is the Real AI newsletter.
Yeah, that's put together by Kevin Hawkins, who, you know, he wrote the Real AI Guide for Real Estate Agents, along with his son, Corey Hawkins.
Right. They are essentially the leading voices translating what is happening in the labs of Silicon Valley into, well, what it actually means for the real estate agent on the street.
Which is so needed right now.
It really is. And the core mission today is to get you past the hype, because AI is no longer just this this cute novel tool that you use to write a slightly more poetic property description.
No, not at all anymore.
It is actively making independent decisions. It's fundamentally rewiring how home buyers search for properties. And like I mentioned with that intern scenario, it is creating massive blind spots for legal liability.
And that is really the critical shift we have to start with today. We're moving away from a world where AI was essentially just a really smart, fast encyclopedia.
Right.
To a world where AI is actually an active participant in your daily operations.
So this is what the industry is calling agentic AI, right? But let's actually break down what that means on a technical level.
Sure.
Because when we say this technology takes action, I think a lot of people just assume it means like faster typing or something.
Yeah, they think of autocomplete.
Exactly. But we are talking about systems that follow up with leads, execute really complex multi-step workflows, and update your back-end CRM without you ever touching a keyboard.
Exactly. It is the leap from generative to agentic. I mean, generative AI drafts an email, and then it just sits there patiently waiting for you to review it and click send.
Okay, and agentic.
Agentic AI decides the email needs to be sent in the first place based on a trigger.
Yeah.
It writes it, sends it, reads the client's reply, and then decides what the next logical action should be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, whether that's booking a calendar appointment or, you know, sending a follow-up document.
Wait, hold on. You're saying it doesn't even pause for a human to hit approve?
Nope.
It just fires off communications
yeah.
and alters databases on my behalf while I'm out showing a house.
That is exactly what is hitting the market right now.
Oh.
The sources highlight several examples of this. Take Beekeeper AI, for instance.
Okay.
They just launched an AI-powered text messaging expense assistant.
How does that work?
So an agent can just snap a photo or text a receipt, and the AI doesn't just read it. It categorizes the transaction, allocates it to the right ledger, and updates the accounting software entirely on its own.
That's wild.
Right. Or look at Lone Wolf. They are embedding AI deeply into their talent tool, and it isn't just sorting resumes anymore.
What's it doing?
It's actively using data models to help brokerages recruit and even predict which of their current agents might be at risk of leaving so they can try to retain them.
Okay, let's unpack this. That is doing some serious heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But this brings me right back to that intern analogy I used at the start.
Yeah, the $40 intern.
Exactly. To me, setting up agentic AI sounds exactly like handing the keys to your business over to this incredibly lightning-fast, overly eager intern who possesses absolutely zero common sense or life experience.
That is a very accurate way to look at it.
Right. Because if you aren't watching their every single move, the risk of them making a catastrophic mistake seems incredibly high.
What's fascinating here is that the lack of common sense is the exact mechanism that creates the danger.
How do you mean?
Well, an AI doesn't understand context or nuance in a human way. It just recognizes patterns in the massive amount of data it was trained on.
So it's just doing math, basically.
Exactly. So what happens when your AI assistant, operating on complete autopilot, inadvertently violates fair housing rules?
But how would it even do that, though, just by, like, answering a client's question wrong.
It could be that, or it could be by filtering leads based on a predictive algorithm that secretly learned a bias from historical data.
Oh, I see.
Let's say the AI notices that historically, homes in a certain zip code sell faster when marketed to a specific demographic.
Okay.
So it automatically starts filtering out leads from other demographics just to optimize your workflow. It thinks it's being highly efficient.
But in reality, it is violating federal law.
Precisely. And as compliance expert Summer Gorelick pointed out, this was during an AI policy panel at the InConnect San Diego Summit, the Department of Housing and Urban Development doesn't care that a computer made the mistake.
Right, because legally, the AI is acting as your designated representative.
Exactly. Gorelick delivered what might be the most sobering reality check of this entire discussion.
What did she say?
She told the audience, and I quote, AI isn't going to lose its license. You are.
Wow. AI isn't going to lose its license. You are.
Yeah, it really puts it into perspective.
That completely shatters this fantasy that we can just set our software to autopilot and, you know, head to the golf course.
It really does.
But honestly, how is a local managing broker even supposed to manage that? You can't expect a real estate broker to suddenly become a software engineer and a tech liability lawyer overnight. Where do they even start to build guardrails?
Well, they don't have to start from scratch, which is the good news here.
Okay, good.
The industry is actually stepping up to provide governance. Ashley Stinton from NorReach, which is the tech accelerator for the National Association of Realtors, she has been highly vocal about this.
What's her take?
She emphasizes that brokerages absolutely must have crystal clear AI governance policies. Hmm. And they are providing downloadable, customizable AI policy templates as a starting point.
Okay, so it's basically a framework that says, here are the tools we officially allow. Here is the confidential client data you are never allowed to feed into a public AI model. And here are the specific tasks that legally require a human sign-off.
Exactly. The broker has to define the boundaries. Because while these tools can definitely protect your time, the legal and ethical responsibility remains entirely on the human shoulders.
The AI does not eliminate human accountability.
Not even a little bit.
Okay, so if brokerages can get a handle on this liability, we have a situation where AI is successfully managing the back office, the administrative tasks, the accounting, all that stuff. But that naturally leads to a massive question about the front of the business. Because if the AI is doing all this invisible busy work, how are the human clients actually finding the human agents to begin with?
That is the million-dollar question.
Because if AI is doing the work for agents, it's definitely doing the work for homebuyers, too.
It is entirely rewiring consumer search behavior. I mean, think about the last 20 years in real estate.
Okay.
The entire industry's digital strategy has been singularly obsessed with one goal, traditional SEO or search engine optimization, just trying to get on the first page of Google.
Right. Stuffing keywords into blog posts about, like, top 10 schools in Austin, so Google ranks your website higher.
Exactly. But that era is ending. We are now entering the age of what they call AI discoverability.
AI discoverability.
Yeah. Agents don't just want a link to their website on a page of search results anymore. They want to be the definitive single recommendation given by ChatGPT, Gemini, or Perplexity. They want the home buyer to ask the AI, who is the best luxury agent in my area? And for the AI to just spit out their specific name.
Which honestly sounds like science fiction until you look at the adoption rates. I mean, the source material pulled some staggering statistics from Position Digital.
Yeah, those numbers are crazy.
Right now, ChatGPT accounts for 12% of all search-related traffic in the United States.
12% already.
Yeah. And this next stat is the one that really caught my attention. 61% of B2B software buyers are using AI search engines alongside Google.
Which is a crucial data point, even for residential real estate.
See, I was going to ask about that. Why should a residential real estate agent care about how corporate software buyers search for things?
Because it proves the trust level in the technology.
Oh, right.
If professionals trust AI to help them research and execute multi-million dollar corporate software contracts, you better believe they're going to trust it to help them find a real estate agent or a mortgage broker.
That makes total sense. The behavior scales.
Exactly. And on top of that, about 60% of U.S. adults say they are actively reading the AI summaries that now appear at the very top of traditional search engine results. Furthermore, 35% of users actually find AI more useful than search engines for discovering new brands.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, and I have to push back a little here.
Sure.
Because whenever there is a shift this big in technology, there's an entire cottage industry of grifters waiting to sell you a map.
Oh, absolutely.
I am already seeing all these AI discoverability consultants popping up online. They promise that for a monthly fee, they will guarantee that ChatGPT recommends your real estate business to local buyers.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
Isn't this just traditional SEO snake oil rebranded? Like, are these people just ripping agents off?
This raises an important question, and your skepticism is 100% justified.
Thank you.
The short answer is yes. A huge portion of that is complete snake oil. The experts in our sources are very clear that you need to be incredibly wary of anyone selling you a guaranteed AI ranking.
But why is it a scam? I mean, if these tech consultants could optimize a website to trick Google's algorithm for the last decade, why can't they just trick ChatGPT's algorithm?
Because AI just does not function like a static index of websites. Google crawls the web, indexes pages, and largely gives everyone in the same area the same list of blue links.
Right.
AI doesn't do that. It calculates the best answer on the fly. It reads the internet and generates an original response in real time.
So it's dynamic.
Very dynamic. That means the recommendation it spits out can change based on the specific phrasing of the user's prompt, the context of the previous three questions they ask, the exact underlying language model being used, and even, like, the time of day.
Wow, just the time of day can change it.
Yeah. There is no magical easy button to guarantee you are the one answer it provides.
So if I can't just pay someone to hack the algorithm, what actually works? Am I supposed to just do my normal job and cross my fingers that the AI notices me?
Well, not exactly. You don't hack it, but you do feed it. Yeah, AI systems generate answers by looking for strong, undeniable digital signals of authority. To become the recommendation, you have to establish real subject matter expertise across the internet.
So doing the actual work.
Right. That means maintaining an authoritative website, ensuring your business information, like your name, address, and phone number, is perfectly consistent on every single platform. Plus, building credible third-party mentions and racking up strong, verified reviews.
That makes sense. The sources also mentioned something about schema. What exactly is that in this context?
So schema is essentially hidden code on your website. Think of it as a direct translator for the AI.
Okay.
Instead of forcing the AI to read your beautifully written about me page and try to guess what you do, schema explicitly labels the data in a language it instantly understands.
Like tagging it.
Exactly. It says, this is a real estate agent. This is their service area. These are their reviews.
So if you do the hard work of building actual real-world reputation and you structure your data clearly, the AI recognizes you as the authority.
That's the goal.
It actually sounds like the AI is just getting much better at recognizing who is legitimately good at their job rather than who is best at gaming the system.
That is exactly what is happening.
Yeah.
And there's a phenomenal statistic in our sources that proves this human element still reigns supreme.
What's the stat?
They surveyed what are called AI mode users, meaning people who actively choose to use the AI chat interface to search rather than typing keywords into a standard search bar.
Okay, the power users.
Right. 26% of these AI mode users said they actually overrode the algorithm's rank order because of brand recognition.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
So the AI specifically said, you know, you should hire Agent A, but the user scrolled down, saw Agent B mentioned, recognized their logo or remembered their billboard, and just decided to go with Agent B anyway.
Yes. Real-world reputation still beats the algorithm.
That is fascinating.
Consumers will use AI to gather information, synthesize data, and narrow down their choices, but they still default to human trust for that final decision.
Which makes sense for such a big purchase.
Totally. You can see this behavior in how consumers interact with tools like Realtor.com's RealAssist AI. Mm-hmm. Our sources noted that one of the top, most frequent questions homebuyers ask that system is simply to calculate the price of a home per square foot.
But that is incredibly basic math.
It is. Uh-huh. But it highlights the dynamic perfectly. People are relying on AI for the raw data, the fast facts, and the calculations.
Right.
But when it comes to the complex, highly emotional decision of who is actually going to negotiate the sale of their biggest financial asset, brand recognition and human trust take over.
So what does this all mean for the big picture? Because if brand trust protects the individual agent from being replaced by an AI recommendation, what protects the industry as a whole?
That's the real macro question.
Right, because if AI is automating the back office and it is completely rewiring top of funnel search, the actual economics of the housing market have to be shifting, right?
The macro level ripples are already highly visible. Mike Simonson, he's the chief economist at Compass. He is actively tracking what he refers to as the AI housing boom.
The AI housing boom.
Yeah. He is looking at how the immense wealth being generated by the AI tech sector is impacting real estate and whether that wealth will eventually spread across the broader housing market or just remain concentrated.
Because right now, it is hyper-concentrated. I saw that the National Association of Realtors reported on the rise of AI millionaires.
Oh, yeah, that's a big trend.
These are tech founders and early employees who are suddenly flush with cash, and they are creating an entirely new class of wealthy homebuyers that are essentially flooding the market for luxury properties.
And this influx of capital is causing significant regional disruptions. Florida Realtors, for example, reported that AI wealth is creating incredibly uneven real estate demand.
How so?
It is heavily strengthening demand in certain tech-adjacent markets while simultaneously shrinking it in areas that don't have that influx of new tech money.
Wow. But you know, whenever you hear the phrase new tech money flooding the market, you naturally start hearing whispers about a bubble. The Hustle ran a really fascinating piece in our sources that compared the current frenzy around AI to the Birmingham bicycle boom of the 1890s.
That is such a perfect historical lens to view this through.
Right, because for those who don't know their 19th century economic history, the bicycle boom was this massive speculative bubble. Bicycles became the new transformative technology, so everyone poured millions of dollars into manufacturing them, thinking demand would grow forever.
And then
the market oversaturated, demand normalized, and the whole thing spectacularly crashed. People are looking at the flood of AI real estate tools and wondering, you know, what happens when this bubble pops?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is a very valid anxiety because we are seeing an avalanche of AI tools hitting the market that look flashy, but might not actually solve the underlying problems.
As what?
For instance, Realty Times covered a platform called Realzy, which partnered with RestB.ai. They developed this incredible technology that uses AI to evaluate properties, offering photo-based quality and condition scoring.
Okay, so it looks at photos.
Yeah, it can look at a picture of a kitchen and instantly grade its condition. It's amazing technology, but does a faster photo analyzer actually solve the core issue of a lack of affordable housing?
No, of course not. Which brings us directly to Zach Cass. He was the go-to-market leader for OpenAI, and he recently delivered a keynote speech that our sources described as, well, jarring and jolting to the industry.
It really was.
His main argument was that housing is fundamentally not a technology problem.
And this is perhaps the most crucial distinction we can make today. Cass pointed out a paradox. Technology has successfully made consumer goods like TVs and smartphones incredibly cheap and accessible over the last few decades.
Right. You can buy a massive TV for almost nothing now.
Exactly. Yet things like housing, higher education, and healthcare remain painfully, stubbornly expensive.
Why is that?
Because the obstacles making them expensive are rooted in human policy, not a lack of processing power. An AI app that perfectly scores property photos does not fix restrictive local zoning laws. And it certainly doesn't lower interest rates.
And because real estate is so deeply entangled in messy human policy, intense emotions, and just physical reality, it might actually be the ultimate shield for the human worker.
That's exactly right.
The Real Deal ran a headline suggesting that messy jobs like real estate agents might be highly insulated from the AI threat.
Because AI absolutely hates messy. AI thrives on clean data sets, predictable patterns, and logical rules. Real estate transactions are the exact opposite. They are the definition of messy.
Exactly. I mean, think about trying to negotiate a repair credit because a buyer is literally in tears over a broken water heater while the seller is insulted by the offer because they installed that water heater with their late father.
Right. Good luck automating that.
An algorithm cannot navigate that emotional minefield. Its capabilities fall off a cliff the moment irrational human emotion enters the chat.
So the technology is here to streamline the predictable parts of the job, but it cannot touch the messy human core of the transaction, which forces us to look at how we actually integrate this moving forward.
I keep coming back to an analogy about the smartphone.
Okay. When the smartphone first came out, the entire sales pitch was that it would finally free up our time. The idea was you could quickly check an urgent email from the beach, handle it in 2 minutes, and get right back to your vacation.
We all know how that turned out.
Right. It just chained us to our inboxes 24/7. It permanently blurred the boundary between work and life. Are we about to make the exact same mistake with artificial intelligence? Are we just going to take the 5 hours a week that AI saves us and use it to generate 500 more pieces of content to feed the algorithm.
That is exactly the warning Zach Kass gave in his keynote. He spoke very deeply about the decline in human social connection and the psychological toll that excessive screen time is taking, particularly on younger generations.
It's pretty concerning.
Yeah. The core promise of AI is that it gives us our time back. The existential question for every professional is, how are you going to spend that reclaimed time? And it's a trap a lot of agents are falling into right now. Inman actually published an article warning agents about this specific issue regarding social media.
What did they say?
They noted that while AI can drastically simplify your content creation, it should only ever act as your assistant, never as your authentic voice.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
If you are using AI so that you can sit alone behind a screen and blast out 10 times as many automated generic social media posts, you have completely missed the point of the technology.
Exactly.
The ultimate goal of integrating AI into a real estate business should not be to create more screen time for yourself. The goal is to eliminate the repetitive administrative friction so that you can finally close the laptop.
Great point, Miles. And that's this week's Real AI Podcast. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and until next week, keep it real!